This is Tax Chats. Hello, I'm Scott Dyring.
And I am Jeff Hoops.
And we're here to chat
about taxes.
Hello again, and welcome to another edition of Tax Chats. I'm Scott Dyring, professor of accounting at Duke University, and I'm joined, as always, by my friend and co-host at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and the curator of the Tax Museum, Jeffrey L. Hoops. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
How's everything today over in Chapel Hill?
So fine, as it always is in Chapel Hill.
Are you guys in class today, or is it spring break, or what's going on over there?
I had class today. I taught just this morning, finishing up the semester, but had class this morning. An excellent class, as always.
As always, talking about taxes, I assume.
Of course.
Okay.
Even when I'm not teaching about taxes, I still teach about taxes.
Do your students ever come to the Tax Museum?
I had one literally today.
Wow, a patron.
A patron.
Wow, very good. Okay. Well, what's happening on Tax Chats today?
So today we have with us Gabriel Zucker. Gabriel, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey guys, my name is Gabriel Zucker. I'm the Program Director for Tax Policy and Partnerships at Code for America. We're a civic tech nonprofit that works on making sure government services are accessible to people in the digital age. And specifically on the tax team, we work on making sure people can access the tax system. And it's great to be here.
Yeah, so we were excited to talk to you. And you gave us just a little brief introduction about Code for America. Can you just tell us a little bit more about Code for America, kind of in general, aside from the amazing tax piece, and then we'll get into we want to talk about how you help people file their tax returns.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, so we're a civic technology nonprofit, which means we focus on the mindful use of technology in the digital age to make government services more accessible. We're in the 21st century. Lots of people expect that they'll be able to interact with their government to access services they need, access processes they need to get through online and easily. And that they have these expectations from products they deal with in the private sector, and they have the same expectations for government. So we're focused on making sure that people have those experiences across a lot of issue areas, and really especially focused on people who may have historically struggled to interact with government services and really rely on them for critical supports on a day-to-day basis. So we've got work across a bunch of different program areas. But of course, I'm here representing our tax work and excited to be talking about our work to make the tax system more accessible.
Yeah. So like what government services besides taxes might you help people access?
So we have a pretty big portfolio that's our safety net portfolio that's focused on safety net benefits, SNAP, WIC, that kind of stuff. And then we also have a criminal justice portfolio that works principally on record clearance as well. So for people who have criminal records that they need to have those expunged. A variety of other initiatives as well, but those being the main other ones in the organization.
So with all of those, is the friction you're trying to overcome just that the government has set up a system that's too complicated to manage without third-party help? Or like what's the problem you're trying to solve?
Is it the government that has the problem of making it accessible, or is it the citizen that has the problem navigating the government's system, or both?
The way I see it is that, the government has a responsibility to make services easier to access. That's the role of the government. The government is here to serve people. And that's how I see it. That's how we see it as an organization. Any time that a process can be easier, can create less friction for everyday people, that's one less barrier folks are facing. And that's a bunch more people who will access a service that often they really urgently need to live their lives. Sometimes these processes are hard to get through because laws are complicated. Sometimes they're hard to get through because systems are antiquated. Sometimes they're hard to get through for any variety of different reasons. No matter what the underlying cause, we do think that you can make these things easier. And that's what we're really focused on.
I guess my question is simply this. Do you work primarily with are you trying to target citizens as your kind of clientele, or the governments as your clientele? Like, who are you trying to help make the world better, or just both?
Gotcha. Well, at the end of the day, the way we talk about our clients are everyday people, right? The way we see it is that we're here to help people access government services. That obviously involves working with government. And sometimes we're literally providing a service. Sometimes we're, providing advice and information and research that could support government providing a service. We could talk about some different examples of different ones of those in our work. But we stay really focused on the fact that at the end of the day, this is about making sure people can interact with their government and get what they need. And that's who we see our end users are at the end of the day.
Let's talk about taxes. So with taxes, you already mentioned some of the problems we're trying to overcome. The tax system is complicated, especially before this year. It was very complicated to get your taxes filed. There's been some inroads this year and probably on an ongoing basis for the U.S. to try to help that directly. And we could talk about that. So tell us a little bit about your what you do with taxes at Code for America.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and as you're referring to the direct file program that started this year, hopefully we can spend some good time talking about that, because it really is the beginning of what we see as a really big change in how the U.S. filing system works. Before we even get into the issues of who is or isn't filing a return and who is or isn't interacting with the tax system, it's important to remember what the tax system is. It's a requirement. We all got to file our returns. Nearly everyone has to file a return no matter who we are. But not only is this kind of an obligation that the government imposes on everyone, it's also a really critical source of social supports for millions of people around the country. We run the largest anti-poverty programs in the country through the tax code. And that's been true even before we talk about the expanded child tax credit that came around a few years ago. And, depending what happens in Congress, may come back in the future. The tax system, it's not just this thing that everyone has to interact with and everyone needs to find a way to do as a requirement. It's also a absolutely critical source of life-sustaining support for millions of people, some of whom don't always access it. So the way we look at this is we want everyone to be able to file easily and for free, and especially we're focused on people who currently aren't filing or aren't claiming all the credits that they're eligible for because this system is too expensive and too hard to navigate. In terms of our tax work at Code for America, I guess I'll highlight a couple different pillars. We first got this program off the ground with a product called Get Your Refund, which was about facilitating access to the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, or VITA, program that probably a lot of folks are familiar with. This is a longstanding IRS program. It's a grant program, and volunteers in community organizations around the country prepare folks' returns for free within certain eligibility limits. And we found from some initial research that needless to say, this is a really wildly successful program that provides great services to people. But in a lot of cases, you had to really go there in person. You had to sit there and wait in the site to get your taxes prepared.
And interact with physical people. And what really ends up happening is the physical person types in a number from a W-2, and that's about it in a lot of cases.
Yeah, well, I think there's a range. I mean, there's definitely some cases where folks are going to VITA because it's the only free option, and that maybe they actually would be happy to use another free option if it existed, and we can get to that in a sec. But there's also some people that, they don't really have a lot of English proficiency, or they have a weird, complicated case. They need to talk it through with someone. So there are people who really are served by this program. It's really important they be served.
Oh, to be clear, I'm saying VITA is important. It's just I think often you could automate some of what happens at VITA, because there's a lot of things that a physical person does at VITA that could be done a lot easier.
Well, and the volunteers at VITA are often they're great people, but they're not like 30-year experienced tax professionals or whatever. Sometimes they're like masters of accounting students and different things like that, if I understand correctly. So
yeah, I was a VITA volunteer. We have a VITA lab here at UNC.
If you have a super complicated tax system situation, Jeff is not your man. Well, maybe he is. And maybe now he is.
And you don't qualify for VITA anyway.
No, I'm saying when you were a student, you would have been the volunteer. And that may, for a super complicated situation, maybe not ideal. But if you have a relatively simple situation, it's like a wonderful service.
Sure. All right. So warning accepted to not visit the Jeff Income Tax Assistance Program, in particular, the JITA program. But you're absolutely right. There are, the way we see VITA, and we talk more about this if you get into direct file, is that's a really important option for people who might face additional barriers, might need a little more guidance. But we wanted to ensure, and the VITA sites we were researching with at the time wanted to ensure there was a way to access this if you couldn't go there in person and wait during the hours a VITA site happened to be open. So Get Your Refund is a virtual VITA platform. It allows you to complete your VITA intake online, you get routed to the VITA volunteer through this online platform, and you can do this whole process without having to go into the site, which is a great option for some people who, do want that level of assistance, but aren't able or aren't interested in going in person. So that was kind of the first foot in the door. And that's still a program, really successful program that's running to this day. Second thing that this team got up to was in 2021, people will recall there was this expanded child tax credit that had this property that it was the same amount of money going down all the way to $0 of income. And in light of that, the IRS created what they called the simplified filing procedure, which said, all right, look, you know, if you don't have a filing obligation because you're earning less than a certain amount, we actually don't really know your exact income. But we're going to give you the same amount of child tax credit, whether you have $0 of income or $1 or $10 or $100. So just leave your income off this return if you're just trying to claim the CTC and the economic impact payments. And that was, you know, a really important point for people, you know, who weren't traditionally claiming these tax benefits. That really took out a lot of the complexity. But what they needed was a simple way to do that. You know, that procedure had been authorized, but still having some technology that walked them through the questions they still did have to answer in a way that they understood, and they could use it on their phone and bilingual and whatever. And that was still really important to be able to take advantage of this process. So we built a tool called GetCTC that I think was nearly 200,000 families over the course of the 2 years we were able to offer it, used that to claim the expanded child tax credit and the economic impact payments.
So how would you, I mean, it seems like one of the huge barriers is just allowing people to understand that these services are available, that the credit's available, and how easy it could be to claim it. Like, is there a lot of advertising involved in what you do? How do you get those 200,000 people to sign up to file their returns with you?
Well, we did a tremendous amount of work on you know, outreach and making sure we got the word out to people. But I'll stop you on this part of the sentence where you said, like, about people knowing how easy it is. The key part is that it needs to first be that easy.
It has to be easy. Yeah, you guys got to make it easy first. Yeah.
And, not necessarily us. The IRS had a huge role in that process by authorizing this process. And now, into the present era, to skip forward a bit, the IRS is the one providing this direct file program that really is a lot easier than what's been out there before and has the potential to get even easier still. What we've always said is that, you know, outreach alone is not enough if the process you're inviting people into is hard. And there's a lot of research about this. Like, you can tell people there's thousands of dollars of EITC sitting out there, but if then you say, all right, and you figure out how to file a return, they're like, well, I don't know how to do that. If I knew, I would have done it already. Like, I've heard of there being money out there. So, like, step one of all that outreach and all that marketing is that there's a single place you can go at the end of that, you know, call to action that is easy and is clear and is free and is trustworthy. And really, we think about a lot of our work is making sure that's there. And then once it is, you know, it's not that the work's done, but like then you can really get going on getting the word out there. And a lot of it gets done for you because once something's free and easy and clear, people start talking to each other about it and word starts to get out.
Okay. Can you remind me? So the free and easy and clear is kind of an amazing concept, right? I mean, just be awesome if
and usually isn't how you talk about taxes.
Yeah, exactly. And usually those things don't all go together in the same sentence. So it seems like, and I think this was true, and maybe seemed like I saw something where it's not true anymore, but like some of the like TurboTax and so forth had like free editions where you could like use TurboTax, which I think is kind of easy. It's not that hard. You just go in and answer the phone or answer the questions and then they submit everything for you. And there was like a free edition, but you had to be below a certain amount of income or something. And my recollection is it wasn't very easy to figure out that it was actually free. And maybe that's where it's not easy to figure out and they weren't trustworthy maybe at some level is coming into play here. And then did they get in trouble for that or did they get rid of those programs? Do you know how that worked?
Yeah, I mean, so there's been various programs floating around that offer some degree of free filing to some set of people, right? There's, you know, the Free File Alliance has been around for 20 years, and that's where the private companies offer a version of their software for free to a certain segment of people. And then, yeah, as you're pointing out, some of the companies do offer things that they advertise as free, and depending on which options you select, you might indeed, you know, you might be able to get a free offering through those, depending on your situation. But you know, these free options that are out there have never had that high take up because, you know, it is a bit of a confusing different constellation, different options. There's complex eligibility. It's not a single place you can go to where it's like, this is the IRS. This is our free option. This is our official service. Come on in here and use it. Our only interest here is getting you through the process.
I think that last part's the important part. I mean, the people who are designing these had every incentive in the world for you not to use the free
yeah,
version.
Exactly. Well, okay. So then, how does what you're doing differ? I mean, talk about that, and then maybe talk about the free file thing now that's happening with the IRS, because I think that's kind of like go to a place and like maybe we can figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I should clarify about our work at Code for America. Our view is not that we're the saviors of the world and we ought to serve everyone. Our view is that government can serve people, and we're here to try to help government do that and try to, you know, help light the way and figure out what the barriers are and demonstrate ways government can be more useful. So,
so,
you know,
so that in and of itself is like extremely different from like TurboTax or Intuit, you know, like their objective is to make money using a system that is hard to understand. So they almost want the government to be complicated. And what you're saying is you're trying to do the opposite. You're trying to make government be useful and friendly and easy and so forth.
Yeah, our view is government can and should be serving people. And so I highlight all that in terms of like our view about our role in this to say that like our view never was that Code for America should build the great, you know, public tax filing product that solves everyone's problems, that the government should. And that's why it's so exciting this year that the government did. Right. I guess it's after April 15th now. So this thing is, you know, this 1 year pilot wrapped up last week. The IRS launched Direct File, which was the first ever free online direct electronic tax filing product in U.S. history. And this was, you know, we see this kind of as the outgrowth of this energy of the last several years of continuing to make it easier to file and this focus on the importance of the accessibility of the tax system. And we think they did a great job and it really proved that like government can provide this function. People really like the reviews of this are just kind of unanimously really positive. And people felt that it really empowered them. And they felt like maybe in the past they were like, I don't know if I can really trust myself to prepare my own taxes because I'm hearing all these different things from all these different directions. But then they would come along and use this product and it was very clear and it treated them with dignity and respect. And people really were able to finish it and finish it pretty quickly and, you know, finish it confidently and file their returns. So Direct File has, there's a long road ahead of us to make it the tax filing product of our dreams that does every single thing that we imagine it can. But for in terms of this being, you know, first year out of the gate pilot, it was really a bang up success from our perspective. We had a role to play in this in terms of the state filing integrations, which I'm happy to talk some more about as well. But I mean, the key fact here, if you're looking at the tax system overall, is the IRS got into the game of making it easier. It really directly got into the game of making it easier to file a return, and it made a huge difference to the people who used it. And there's a lot to build on in the future.
Was this plan, you know, in effect before like the $80 billion of IRS funding came along, or did that help like create this?
I think $80 billion will help get a lot of things across the line. I mean, you know, there have been conversations about it. Like, I don't think the idea of a free online easy tax filing product, like this was obviously on people's radar. It's a pretty clear thing that you ought to think about doing if you're trying to like provide direct services. But, you know, it's not any kind of mystery to point out that the IRS has been kind of starved for resources over quite a little while. And big projects like that, you know, are pretty hard to take on without some additional resources if you're still struggling to just kind of do the basics. And so, you know, clearly it was after that $80 billion and after the $15 million specifically to look into this system that was in the IRA that this thing, seemed to actually get going.
So where, I guess that kind of actually brings up an interesting point as we're talking about money. Who funds all this? I mean, so Intuit has people fill out the tax returns because you have to pay to use the product. Do people pay anything to use their products? Are they free? And if they are free, who's paying all the coders that are creating all this?
Oh, our products are absolutely free. We're never going to charge people to use our products. That's the whole thing. We think it ought to be free to interact with these services. Again, our model is about, showing how government can serve people more directly and like, you know, iterating and proving models. So we're philanthropically funded. And the idea of that is to, you know, help prove out these models to do things that, you know, might be a little bit more experimental that, you know, maybe a government can't always move as quickly to get done. And then, you know, work to figure out what a long-term home for that is, usually within government. But you know, the work that we do on a day-to-day basis is philanthropically funded and we're not charging taxpayers. In terms of the direct file work, you know, it's paid for by the IRS, which is, you know, as it should be, right? It's like the IRS is the tax administrator. So their job is making sure everyone can, you know, do their responsibilities in tax administration.
Yeah, and I did think when I heard about this direct file, and even until I realized what role Code for America had in it, to me, the question was always like, what about the states? There's these two problems. My tax return with the IRS, but if you're in North Carolina, you also got to file a separate one. And the IRS is unlikely to like facilitate that directly. So tell us a little bit about what you did with state filing this year and how successful that was.
The way I see this with the state filing is, you know, this is like a challenge that you face if you're trying to do a something like direct file in the United States that you don't face in a lot of peer countries that people like to hold up as examples of where tax filing is easier, where there either isn't provincial taxation, state taxation, whatever it is, or it's administered centrally, and you don't have to file a separate return. This was an actual thorny challenge to work through. And the strategy that the direct file team at the IRS came up with was, we're not sure we have the authority, as you're saying, to directly prepare and submit these state tax returns. But what we can do is we can give taxpayers who finish direct file the option to take all that data they've entered into direct file and export it to a state tool. And what that does is that, we all know from doing our returns, it's pretty much all the same information on your state and federal returns. There's some differences, and that's why the state return is separate. But like, especially the simpler your taxes get, it's like 95% the same stuff. You got the same name, the same social, the same W-2 income, the same most of your other income isn't going to change. If you got a state earned income tax credit, it's often just a fraction of your federal one, right? You don't need a lot of new information. So if you make people start over on that state return, well, then they're like, rehashing all the stuff they just did. They're doing everything twice. But if you allow them to export that data, you tee up the potential of a state filing tool that's really, really easy. So easy, in fact, that it kind of just doesn't even feel like a separate thing you did. You're just kind of like, I guess at the end there was like a state return there for a couple of minutes, but I don't know. I experienced this as direct file, and then there was something at the end for my state. And that was the strategy that the IRS came up with and proposed. So, we learned about this when everyone else did, when the report came out last year, and they were socializing this. And we said, we think we can do that. But this is it's a new approach. It's a novel idea. Like, no one had done this before, having there being a federal data transfer to a tool that would do the state return. So it's a really great example of how our organization can contribute here by saying, we have a lot of this experience, the user experience people and programmers, and we know the tax system from our previous work, and we can bring that to bear to test out this novel approach on behalf of states and work with states to see if this works. And then, if and when it does, help states adopt it themselves. So that's what we did. So we ended up working with the states of New York and Arizona in 2024. And we developed this product with them that we called File Your State Taxes. And it did that thing that I described, right? So at the end of direct file in New York and Arizona, it said, you're not done with your state taxes. Click over here to this tool called File Your State Taxes that's being provided by your state. And they would get to this tool that we built. And people finished it really, really quickly and really felt pretty painless for them.
And so when you say like you're working on those two states, what does that actually physically mean? Does that mean that there are like some tax accountant or tax attorney at Code for America, some programmer, they work together to interpret the tax code of the state, what inputs you need to turn the inputs into a tax return?
Yeah, I mean, so, this year we still are. It's open for a couple more days. We built and are running the technology. The entire tech stack is within Code for America, which means, the interface that accesses the direct file API to import folks' data when they consent to that transfer. All the questions people have to answer, the code that turns that into the state e-file submission that we send off to the states. So that's all stuff that our tech team has built. But the whole project is done very much in partnership with the states, which is a really important point here. Like, this isn't like we're not out here freelancing some independent thing. The state said, yes, we want to be part of this. We want to make sure direct file is available in our states. And the states played a really critical role in terms of working with us to figure out the right scope in terms of state tax situations in light of the federal situation, helping us move quickly. We ended up having like a matter of months to get this thing together in terms of helping us understand the state tax law and reviewing the way we were asking questions in terms of promoting the thing to taxpayers. It was really a partnership getting this thing out the door.
And so is the tax expertise then at the state level, or do you have the tax experts at Code for America?
It's both. I mean, we have a lot of people here who have spent a lot of time working on tax returns, including Advitasites, and other stuff. So, we're doing initial interpretations, reading through the forms, reading through the laws, and then we're running this by the states as well, and they have legal counsel and whatnot, and we have counsel and whatnot. So, there's a collaboration there. But a lot of the work ends up not being so much in terms of the legal interpretation, especially because this year you were talking about really fairly simple tax situations, which cover a lot of people, but not. You're not really getting into some of the vagaries of an offshore account or whatever. You're looking at kind of down the middle stuff.
So how many people ended up using the state file through Code for America this year?
I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to share that number right now, but we're excited to share it real soon. You probably saw the direct file news that they blasted through their goal of 100,000 federal returns a bit before the tax deadline. So last weekend. Did that last weekend? Yes, that was last weekend. Time has gotten very funny over here as we're dealing with all this stuff going on. So I understand it's pretty likely they'll be releasing their total numbers at some point in the coming weeks, and then we'll be looking doing that as well. But what we did see, and what I can say here, you know, as we're still getting numbers together and getting stuff together to publish, is that we're really happy with the conversion rate we saw from the federal to the state returns. You know, you want to see that people are using that federal return, and then it's so seamless to go through to the state process that everyone, you know, goes ahead and finishes it. I mean, nearly everyone goes ahead and finishes it and does it pretty quickly and tells you it's pretty smooth. And that's really what we saw.
And is your goal, I mean, ideally to get not all 50 states have an income tax, but the states that do have an income tax, like you're trying to get them on board for the future. Is that the plan?
Well, our goal is that every state can participate in direct file. To the same point before, this doesn't have to, and in fact, needn't run through Code for America. We see our role here as like, again, it's we're helping test out an experimental new approach. And if we can continue to play a role in helping states adopt this quickly and then help them figure out the long-term, long-term where this sits for them, that's a role we're still, eager to play. But our goal isn't about Code for America. It's about direct file. Our goal is about direct file. I think is kind of proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that like there's demand for this system. People, the government can provide this system and can continue to build on. There's so much more that can be done that they kind of just did little glimmerings of this year. Already like we're seeing people quoted in articles and members of Congress and everything why isn't this in my state? And it's because you got to get this state filing thing worked out too, because you got state returns that are important. So we certainly want to play a role in making sure that every state that wants to do this and that every state can do it. But that doesn't mean that we're going to build technology in every state at all.
I've heard several kind of anecdotal stories about different people at different times who wanted to simplify the tax compliance process facing resistance from organizations who profit from having a complicated tax filing process and who help people comply with that complicated tax filing process. Did you guys face any kind of resistance as you've tried to simplify the process for people in whether at the state level or at the federal level?
Some opposition to direct file is a matter of public record, and you can read about that just in the media. But our role is not that's not really our role. Our role is we got some states that want to participate in this program, and it's because look, state departments of revenue know that their job is to make it easy to comply with the state tax law, and like they have an interest in this too. So they were eager partners in making this happen, and day to day we were dealing with taxpayers, dealing with the state department of revenue, dealing with the direct file team, we were dealing with data imports and whatnot. And these are all people that really want to see this thing succeed and want to make this easy as possible to file a return.
Yeah, it's very cool. So besides direct file and this partnership, are there other tax things? Like, do you work beyond just income tax? Do you look in property tax? Do you do all that kind of stuff? Or are you just kind of the income tax?
No, we're focused on income tax because, I mean, even more specifically than that, we're really... The core of this I was kind of mentioning earlier is about access to these refundable tax credits for low-income families. Like really the mission here is like everyone get their EITC and everyone get their CTC. And like if the CTC were to get expanded again, which really increases this pool of people who might really struggle to get it, make sure they get it. But there obviously is a world outside of just like the narrow project we're working on in terms of income tax administration in general. And I think, it's a pretty cool moment to be working on this because obviously, in significant part, thanks to the billions of dollars in IRA funding, there's lots of things going on at the IRS to really, help move this work forward. I do spend a lot of time arguing because I do feel this that like direct file is the kind of does tie everything together. Even if what you're focused on is some other part of the tax administration process, this front door that like helps you think, yeah, actually, that's where I can go to get the right information, and that's where my journey starts. That ties together a whole lot of other things that are important, but there are other things that are important, right? There's the matter of like, how long it takes to process the return afterwards. There's a matter of reject resolutions in cases of conflicting family claims and notices you get, and like, are they comprehensible? And what happens next? And like, what if you file a return and you neglected to claim a credit you can claim? What research do we have on who's still not filing and how can we reach them? There's lots of other things around there, but this single front door is certainly a lot of where we're focused because I think there's so much of it runs through that front door being effective.
So it seems like if you were expanding what you do, it would be in the income tax and go deeper into more looking at different pieces of that as opposed to other kinds of taxes, like helping people you know, appeal property tax valuations or something like that, which is a process I think that could be automated and could help a lot of people that could use the help.
Yeah, we're a little busy, but I will keep that on the radar for when I feel like we need another challenge and we're a little bit too idle.
So, is there, Jeff, maybe you know the answer to this, or maybe you don't know, Gabriel. Does the government ever, like the federal government, ever send a letter to taxpayers? I mean, I know they send letters if you file a return and they think you're not eligible for something, and they say, oh, you know, you and your ex wife both claim the same dependents on your separate returns or something, so you can't both have the child tax credit or whatever it is. Yeah. Does the government ever send a letter and say, we think you are eligible for something that you didn't claim?
Yeah, they sure do. There's the ones I'm most familiar with, which is not to say they're the only ones, but there are a couple letters they send to people who they think are eligible for their earned income tax credit and didn't claim it, which are called the CP09 and CP27, if you want to go Google.
Sounds like yourself. A robot from Star Wars.
I'm led to believe CP stands for computer paragraph, so you might not be that far off. But these have been around. I don't even actually know. Like, they've been around for a while, because I mean, there's research on them dating back at least a decade, and it's probably longer than that. And the forms say, hey, like, you filed your return, you might be eligible for up to X amount of EITC. Confirm these couple things and mail back the form. And you know, what they're asking is stuff that, like, generally, if you don't have kids, it's way simpler. So the main thing there is, it tends to be like, did you live in the US for 6 months of the year? Cause that's not attested on your return otherwise. So like, well, check that out, you know, and like, I forget exactly what's on the form these days.
But it's like everything. Kids make it all more complicated, don't
kids,
they?
As a childless person, that seems about right to me.
Well, Jeff and I made up for you. I've got 6 and Jeff has 5. So,
wow. Well, thanks for getting the job done on my behalf.
Yeah, I know. You're welcome. Yeah. Then it makes you wonder, is a letter the way to go, or should the government be sending text messages or something along those lines?
The box for fraud if it's not a physical letter.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of things that could happen. But yeah, I mean, this is where it gets interesting, where I can imagine like a Code for America could play a role in making things kind of simpler and more technologically compatible with the world that we live in, right?
Sure. I mean, we've been obsessed with those notices for a while. I mean, I was obsessed with them even before I was at Code for America. I have like some stuff I published being like, these notices are like really interesting. I mean, I think there's a couple of angles here, right? One is like, well, why didn't they claim the thing in the first place? Like what software were they using that allowed them to skip over this? Or were they filing a paper? What's the reason? Because if you're using good software, it's going to be pretty hard to skip over that credit.
But I was going to ask that. I mean, it's not even skip over. Like when I got the child tax credit this year for my 5 children or however many children I'm up to at this point.
I need to come over and count, Jeff? Like,
do your count, do the audit. I don't feel like I clicked anything. You just like type in their names. You don't have to like say, yes, I do want to accept the child tax credit. So like, how do they, are they filling out paper returns, or what is the answer to your question? Like, how do you not get the EITC if you?
I think it's a really good question. I don't have access to the data of like how these folks filed. So maybe they filed on paper. Maybe they use fillable forms. You have to check the box. Maybe they answered a question somewhere along the way that suggested they weren't eligible, but that was, you know, answered in error. Maybe they used a preparer who filled out the thing for them, and that person, you know, did a human error, you know, and did something. Maybe there's some software where you do have to click in and check off or something. You know, I mean, the way the forms are set up, the EITC is a little bit more separate than the CTC is. CTC is literally right there in the dependents table. So it's a lot harder for to even picture how that would happen. But the reason I raise all that is simply that, like, look, as hopefully Direct File expands and scales and lots of folks are using it, I would hope that would cut down on the number of cases that people aren't claiming a credit they're eligible for. Because, I've used the Direct File site not to file my own taxes, but in the demo environment as we were testing. I wanted to, but I was out of scope this year. But, you know, having used it, it's pretty hard to skip over the EITC and the CTC and Direct File if you're eligible for them. And there's also the aspect of, like, I mentioned, you know, maybe there's an esoteric question you could ask along the way and you answer it wrong. Like, you know, you have to ask whether you're subject to this 2-year, 10-year ban for reckless disregard and claiming the EITC. And some folks don't know what that means. And like, they might answer that wrong. But you know what Direct File can do? And there's already some steps that were taken in this direction. They can answer that question for you because they're the IRS and they've got that right there in the taxpayer account you're already logged into. So, you know, maybe some of these folks are people who misanswered that question in whatever software it is, but Direct File has the capacity to not even ask you that question in the first place. And like, there's the one less step where you could like accidentally go astray and, you know, deny yourself a credit you might get.
I don't know how many people there are out there on the planet who would say their experience working with the government and taxes has been pleasant. Probably are a few, maybe.
I've got a lot of colleagues, man. And I think we'll all have that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think we're all hoping that the work you're doing will push us in the right direction, because I think that wouldn't we all love to have a more pleasant April 15th every year? It'd be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the number of stories that came out this year that like were about people's direct file experiences, and the quotes were always a variation on a theme. Like, you know, and the lead of every article was the same, was like, April 15th is a horrible day, and there, you know, like there's two things that are normal in life and death, and we hate taxes, right? Like every lead was that. And then every quote, like, I mean, it got to be kind of funny. Like every quote was someone's being like, I must be the first person who's ever said they enjoy doing their taxes. And I was like, no, you're not, because like there've already been 20 other interviews about direct file, and they all said that already in like the last articles. So like, you know, it's not a pipe dream. Like, it's not that it's like necessarily fun to go through this form, but like, you know, if you're treated with respect and it's clear where to go and it's a dignified experience and you're, you know, it's, you know, the specific obligation you go through and there's usually be a bunch of money waiting for you at the end of it. It's like really, you know, it doesn't have to be that big of a deal. And I think it's not just a pipe dream. It's like a thing that really in a meaningful way got off the ground this year. And we certainly hope to see it expand a lot from there.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us and for sharing with us the work that you're doing at Code for America.
Of course. Thanks so much for your attention to the issue. Of course.
All right. Well, my name is Scott Dyring. I'm professor of accounting at Duke University, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Jeff Hoops. Our guest today has been Gabriel Zucker, who is the program director of tax policy and partnerships at Code for America. Thanks so much for listening. We'll chat with you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.